Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I've got Jimmy Franklin back from New Jersey, and we're just going to have a bit of a chat about dyslexia in general. We're going to talk about things like those tired dyslexic days. What do you do about them? You know, are you the only one who gets them? Because I'll tell you not. We go into a few ideas around them. We talk about duality. You know, some days you're a hypocrite, some days you're the opposite. You're never quite sure where you sit, and we dive into that and other dyslexic habits. And then Jimmy drops an amazing did you know about the Japanese language. So stay tuned for that one. Hope you really enjoy today's podcast, and if you do, let me know, and I'll get Jimmy back for a few more amazing conversations. Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia, and this is Jimmy Franklin, the man.
That is right. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, how are you, mate? How are you doing in beautiful New Jersey?
Oh, it's, you know, it well, so right now in beautiful New Jersey, it is 10 o'clock yesterday for us. Oh. Yeah, for you guys. You guys are already in tomorrow. So we're doing some time traveling here. How is tomorrow so far?
It's fantastic. Like I would definitely consider coming here if you're in the past.
Oh, cool. You
know, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, so, that's really awesome. I hear that my hair is going to be a little bit longer at that point, you know. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and who knows what else, you know. So that's
I love it, man. And you know, it's great to have you back. It's good to have someone to talk to. Just in general, but it's good to hear someone just to chat about like dyslexia and how it's working and some of the things we're learning. And it was such a good interview the other day. I thought, let's have you back. Let's talk about some topics. Let's bounce some ideas, because I think people just learn so much from stories of real life people.
Totally. I love it. And I got to tell you, since the last time I was on here, I was talking to Lauren, my girlfriend, and I was like, you don't get it. It was like I was looking at someone from my own tribe for the first time in my life, like someone who understood what goes on in my brain, and he was able to explain it back to me. I was totally fangirling on this end after last time. So thank you so much for that, man.
You're welcome, mate. And I think it's so true, right? There's so many dyslexics in the world that, you know, who do you bounce stuff off against? You can feel really alone and you don't want to show your true face because then you feel like you're not enough, right?
Yeah. And it's not like we wear name tags that say like, hi, I'm Jimmy, I'm dyslexic. You know what I mean? We don't do that. And so it's really hard to tell, of all things, it's really hard to tell who's in your group.
Yes. Oh, and this is the challenge, right? And I think that the thing is, when you start to work out what dyslexia is, you start to see all these people around you that fit the bill, that kind of, you start to think they could be dyslexic, but it's so challenging to go up to them and say, I think you're dyslexic. And they say, I can read.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, no, I got great grades, or he's not, or sometimes to like a student's parents. No, he has great grades. You know, it's like sometimes those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
Exactly. And this is the thing is you get into a period of time where it's really hard to explain to people that they could be dyslexic, and it just gets really time consuming. And like, you know, it's funny, like with the podcast and what we do is we sit back and wait for people to get to a point where they've had a test, they think they're dyslexic, they're at least at the beginning of the journey, because, you know, trying to convince people, even if they blatantly are, yeah, it's too hard, right? It's not worth the journey.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very hard. And there's so much red tape that comes with trying to like break through with someone like that. Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, young kids, parents get offended, you know, it's just,
yeah, exactly.
Again, luckily it's so much more accepting. It's so much more accepted now. Actually, one of my students, who is dyslexic, right. And him and I get along really well. And I'm always kind of telling him my stories, you know, in the middle of our lessons and stuff like that. his mother and him, their names are Bobby and Lana. I'm sure they're listening to this right now. And they said they listened to it. And his mom brought up a great point about like me being, about what I went through being younger, about like, oh, doesn't dyslexia mean he's stupid? Because they treat Bobby's dyslexia so differently than what we went through. And it's amazing. It gets me so excited for what the future of this is going to be. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. It is around the edges. It's so much better. Right. And like teachers are a bit more aware about it. They're not completely throwing every kid under the bus.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the games, like the iPad games, mm-hmm. you know, we've got, my fiance has a 5-year-old and she's on her iPad playing these reading games that are just interesting. I'm even interested in doing
yeah.
it. And it's like, if I had those at school, my life would have been different, right?
Oh, totally different. Totally different. Yeah. That's actually how I learned finances, but we'll get to that later.
that's another topic. Yep. So for today, guys, we've got a few topics here. You know, Jimmy's gone away. He's done his research. He's got some cracking dyslexic tips, and knowledge that I don't even have. So, well done, Jimmy. Well done for your homework. Finally get that homework star you've been waiting for 35 years. The other thing we want to talk a bit about today is a topic I've spoken about years back on the podcast around duality, and just to explain that to people listening. To me, what duality is if you imagine a graph, have you ever heard of a bell curve where it's a big bell in the middle and at the end there are two different levels, people that are on different sides of the bell curve? You've probably heard that. And one of the things we see a lot in dyslexia is dyslexics sit on either side of the bell curve or even on both sides of the bell curve at different times of the day. You know, if you're listening to this, have you ever thought of yourself as a hypocrite? That is the one way I look at it is if you go, wow, I've just told you to do something that I would never do, but you should do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do the opposite.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not going to do it in a bad way, but it's just the way my brain works. And
exactly.
Yeah. Does that relate to you, Jimmy?
Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, being a music educator as well, it is up to me a lot of times to tap into the brain of the student and tell them, oh, this is how you would practice this. And this exercise will make you better, when yes, the exercise makes you better, but it's not always the way I learned, you know, and I learned from experience that this is maybe a shorter cut to the way I did it, but it's not exactly how I'm doing it.
Yes.
And I've learned things in my own way. And I've kind of paved my own path with that, the way I make music. And then when it comes to teaching, sometimes I have to throw in things that I maybe haven't done to the extent that I would like to do, or I would like my students to do, because I know it works for my teachers that are better than me, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And sometimes, and I think it affects, you know, in a personal way also, it definitely affects me to be, you know, on that bell curve on both sides kind of, you know, because I think, are you familiar with Jimmy Carr?
Yeah, I love him. Brilliant.
Well, so if you have listened to his book yet, he is he's a known dyslexic, turns out. And so he mentioned, it's funny enough that he mentioned in that book, you know, the only people, if you never changed your mind, then you'd just be a politician, you know? And so, and I thought that was really funny, because to hear a dyslexic say something like that, where, you know, sometimes you do have to recognize both sides to the greater picture, you have to kind of meet yourself in the middle a little bit. And it's really hard to do.
Oh, and yeah, no, you're spot on. It's so true though. Cause we, and again, like I feel sometimes like I'm a child when I learn something that must seem obvious to someone else, but I'm like really excited about learning it. And it completely changes my opinion. And I go from being like a carnivore meat eater, you know, year one, to being a complete vegan year two.
Exactly.
And then the next year, God knows what it is. And my dad does this. It's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many people that I've heard now recently, people that I admire who could be dyslexic, right? Who are entertainers in some way, who say things like that now. They're just like, oh yeah, like I change my mind sometimes, you know, 9 times in a day. And that, I think, is super powerful because a lot of people can't change their minds that easily. You know, they get stuck to an idea. We have no option. So we might as well embrace it.
Well, the patterns that go through our brains. And the other thing I also notice when I'm looking, you know, looking out at the world, you see different patterns with how people operate. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of go, hey, you know, this is the way I look at this, but you did the same thing, but in this pattern. But trying to explain how you got from here to here,
yep,
is like it's not working, right? It's just going over their head.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we're doing the thing with there's an old Popeye cartoon where, you know, Bruno was like, oh yeah, we'll go around this way and we'll go up this way and around over here. And he finally gets to the destination. And Popeye's like, nope, we'll just go this way. And he draws a straight line through.
Yes.
It's exactly. That. Yeah, exactly. We have those different, they bounce around. The information bounces around differently in our heads. We get there in the end. How do we get there? Who knows?
Yeah, like my always concept. So the concept I had, and I've spoken about this a while back, and this is why I quite like this, is I can bring up topics that I know I've spoken about, but it could have been 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, my big lesson was the way our brains work is we go backwards. So we go from right to left. So yeah. Like we read the answer and then go back, you know, we work backwards. Like I'll work math problems, I'll go to the end and work the math problem backwards.
Dude, it's so funny that you say that because I have a concept in my teaching with specifically guitar that I call reverse engineering riffs.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I will learn the ending first so I know where I have to get to.
Yes.
And I will backtrack through the piece so that I could see the way it builds better. That's so funny that you mentioned that because I do that all the time. And yeah. I teach this to students and I feel like I tell them this and they look at me cross-eyed sometimes. And that's exactly what it is. I call it reverse engineering riffs and I will break down what the ending is. And then the ending exposes a lot of information to me, right? Because that's the big finale, you know? So that's so funny. You mentioned that. That's brilliant.
It's, and if you think about it, like what I always used to say is we are the kids that couldn't show our workings in class.
Yeah.
You know, we could sometimes get to the answer. The teacher would say, how'd you get to that answer? And we go, I can't show you how I worked it out because my brain just went, you know, and it's like the teacher goes, you cheated, you know, but our brain worked it out a different way where the workings was actually the harder part than getting to the result.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That you're spot on.
Scary, right?
When you it think is. About
like that.
And I never would have thought about that because you have to remember my experiences sometimes with school were I told you last time on the podcast was of like negotiating the grades and you know, legitimately when they, you know, like I would be the kid that accidentally did page 24 instead of page 42. Like that was a standard thing. And I really don't reverse things that much. I'm not that type.
Yeah. Ditto. Just occasionally, right? Just in annoying moments.
Exactly. Exactly. Just when there's a lot of stress, exhausted, whatever it might be. That's actually, you know, that's the worst part is when you have those super stressed moments that just kind of, they put that extra little pressure on dyslexia.
And this is like the key with anyone listening is starting as you start to learn about yourself and you can laugh at it and go now in hindsight, you laugh at it and go, that's funny, right? Well, like you made a mistake. Oh, who cares? The world's not going to end. You know, that teacher doesn't remember what page you got wrong. You know, the world never ends. Like I think the story I always go back to is I was planning to go to the gym and do a workout. And, and you know, I wasn't really routine about it. So I'd spend a lot of time thinking, have I got my water bottle? Have I got my towel? Have I changed into my gym clothes? Mm-hmm. Have I got my get into the door? So I went one day and I got everything that I needed.
Yeah.
I thought, I get to the gym and I work out. I'm in my sandals or my jandals. Or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I was just laughing because I was like, I've done all this work to get everything I need. And I just arrived and I am missing my shoes.
And you don't have your shoes on. Oh my God.
And so like I just, the old me would have like gone, man, that's so stupid. Anyone get that right?
Yeah.
But I knew what had happened. I knew how my brain worked. I was like, oh, I can see where that went wrong.
Yep. And you know, the difference there is when I was, you know, I was very young with a lot of this stuff, you know what I mean? And so it was a lot more embarrassing. Whereas like I really couldn't laugh at it back then. It was very, very hard to do. And that was tough. You know what I mean? That was like me arguing with a teacher. Hey, no, I have my homework. It's right here. What are you talking about? And then she tells me that I did the wrong page. And like, you know, the typical kind of like classroom bursts out in laughter thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's like one of those. So like for me, that was, you know, it was a lot different at the time. You know what I mean? But now I'm so happy that it is a lot more fun now. I'll say it all the time. It's a lot more fun now.
Yeah. And I think it's the key, like for people out there, the young ones especially, is it does get easier over time.
Yeah.
Like when you start, as long as you can learn to understand how your brain operates,
yep.
You know, you put in enough rules. You know, we talked about last time around t-shirts.
Yep.
You know, I'm kind of breaking the mold with a gray one.
I know.
Really changing the, usually it's black. So
wild and crazy. Look at you. You're branching out.
It's hilarious. I've literally decided it's taken me a while, but my business is going to buy me 10 black branded t-shirts. Just so I have 10 of the exact same new t-shirts every year.
Perfect. That's
may as well make it a business expense, right?
Exactly. Right. Make it as easy as possible. There it is. It's a business expense now.
Yeah. And I think this is the key, right? With anything, with the way the dyslexic mind works, we need to make life easier, you know,
as easy as possible. Yeah. Yep. And make everything flow and everything seems to fall into place nicely. And if you can make everything flow, if you can find your little pockets of things that just will alleviate even 1% of the stress in your day, right? You will live so much easier of a dyslexic life.
Yes.
Little bits and pieces.
The other key thing as well, you know, we were talking about working backwards.
Yeah.
It's also really why visual thinking and visual planning works well for us. Because if we focus on the end result and we build enough trust in ourselves, this is what we do in, you know, our Truth About Dyslexia course. We teach a lot of this, but it's about how you, if you basically pick what you want in the future and you follow a bit of a formula, the dyslexic mind is so good at creating that result once you trust it, because it's so much quicker than the average brain, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you put a visual feeling out in the future, and you go, I want to master this song. Do you know what I mean? You master that song, right?
Yeah, exactly. And okay, so it's interesting that you bring that up as well, and about the visualizing the end goal. That is very interesting, because that's, you know, that's a hard thing to do until you put a face to it.
Yeah, man.
Exactly that though. Like, and that's maybe that, you know, we talked last time a little bit about, you know, I guess idols in a way, where you kind of idolize or like have that person that you kind of copy someone. Right. And so that's interesting as well, because I guess maybe that's that, where you can't visualize your own success. You could visualize that guy's success and you could start pointing in that direction a little bit, right? Give yourself some sort of guide. But I like that, you know, because when I do think that, this has been my experience, is that it's not even sometimes enough for a dyslexic in general to just visualize, say, something like learning a song, right? Because there is still the question of, well, why, right?
Yeah. Wow, that's a whole nother topic, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. And so I do have some, you know, like I said, I've had dyslexic students that have been hard to teach because there is that why missing. Like, what is the point? And a lot of times, you know, I get way more done when I have a deadline of something huge, whether it be a show coming up or a YouTube video I have to create. I get so much more done accurately and consistently when I have that why in the background. And normally the why is so much simpler than the thing I have to do.
Oh, it's we are driven by purpose, right?
Yeah, purposeful learning.
Yeah.
Like purposeful learning.
And the quick, you know, I'll give you a great example of that. A mixture. Oh, mate, this is, you think I had this planned. I'm gonna mix a bit of purpose with a bit of visualization.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So I had a really amazing client over in Australia. Now, he's dyslexic, such a nice guy, and he was talking to me. He goes, I've got a kitchen that's about 80% finished, right? 80% done. Looks really good, but I can't get this last 20% finished. Every time I look at it, I just go, oh. And I carry on with my life. I'm so over it. like three, it took like a couple of months to get 80%, but the last 20, it's been like 8 months.
Yep. Unfinished. Yep.
I'm sure we've all got that experience.
I know it very, very well.
And so I chatted to this guy and I said, okay, so how are you going to solve this? And he goes, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, what I want you to do is I don't want you to do anything this week until we meet. I don't want you to do anything. But I want you to tell me, why do you want to finish the kitchen? And he goes, oh, it'd be nice to have it finished. And well, if that was the case, every dyslexic would have everything finished.
Right? It would be easy. Exactly.
Easy. So I said, okay, once it's finished, why is it valuable to you? And so this took a few questions. It was a bit deeper. And before the end of it, we got to a point where he's visualizing himself cooking a piece of meat in the kitchen, sitting at the dining room table with his friends with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And just having the best time, them complimenting him on the kitchen. And I said, all I want you to do for the whole week is every morning, I want you to take 2 minutes. I want you to think about it. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell that glass of wine at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, I want you to feel it. I want you to feel that success. And then I don't want you to do anything else. I'll catch up with you next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to the next call a week later, and he's telling me, I've only got two things left to finish on the kitchen, and it's about done. And all I did was I took away the workings. He was getting stuck on, how do I do this? How do I do that? How do I work through this? Overthinking it all.
Yeah.
And I just removed that, pop a visual purpose in there, and take some time. I gave him a meditation of ours we use. And it just gave him a little bit of music to follow. And he loved it. He was like, oh my God. Like, he's like, I just did it without any effort.
Yeah. And once we're tapped in, once I'm tapped in, I know in my situation, once I'm tapped into that, you know, it just, the flow happens. And it's so funny how easy, once you're there, you're like, wow, it was so easy to tap into this part of my brain that just wants to go.
Yeah.
You know, but we spend so much time talking down. You know, I said the other day, I will come up with 10 different reasons that a YouTube video that I want to make that is going to be super involved. I will come up with 10 different reasons that I should not make that video. You know what I mean? Before I come up with the one reason that I should make the video. Just recently, I did a video that's going to be coming out this weekend. And it's fun because it was I could say it on here. It doesn't really matter. It was a guitar surprise that I did for one of my students that we gifted him a new guitar. But the thing was, he thought it was a like blind test between three guitars, and he had to tell which one was the most expensive and which one was the cheapest. Awesome. And we gifted him that at the end. But it was so funny because his parents had contacted me and were like, hey, we know you have this, that you work with this company Sweetwater in America that it's called, that is with my YouTube channel. And they were like, we were just wondering if, you know, if we bought it off of one of your links, if it helped your channel out at all. So they were just wondering about that. And then like a little light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, I could hit up Sweetwater and see if they would be behind this video.
Yeah.
But before I ever got to it, I probably spent the whole day telling myself reasons that I should not make this video. I was like, oh, it'll take too much effort. It'll take too long. I'll never get it done. It won't be any good in the end. All these things, right? And once that trigger hit where I was like, you know what? He will have the best time making this video, and it'll give him something to be really proud of with his guitar and something to remember. And once that clicked in my head, man, it was just off to the races. The thing was done. I wrote the whole video out and it was ready to go.
Yeah. Once you got the purpose, the feeling, and that's half our battle is pushing to the limit. And I remember chatting to a good dyslexic very much on that is you to have a happy life, you want to be playing on the fringes of your comfort zone. So you don't want to be so far out that it's scary.
Yeah,
you don't want to be repeating everything because it's boring.
Exactly.
So you just find that fringe. Like for you, you can make a great video. You had the student, you had the guitar contact, And so doing this was a video that's different. It's new, mm-hmm. a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you could do it.
Yep.
And you were on, and the reason you were looking at the negatives is you were on the fringe, right? That was the fringe.
Correct. And it's funny. There's a, I think there's a ton, I don't know if we brought this up last time, but there's a term, I think it's called the zone of optimal, the zone of optimal development. Might be. Hey,
that sounds good, mate.
Just it sounds pretty legit, right? Yeah, so we'll go with that. So let's say it's called the zone of optimal development. And it's, I think it's as much a philosophy as it is like a, you know, like a professional term, like a, anyway, the word has escaped me right now. But the point is that exactly what you just said, if you reach for something that's too far out, it'll be discouraging.
Yeah.
And if you stay too close, then you won't grow at all. So there is this one spot that feels good, that you vibrate with, that, you know, that you have to go in to grow, and it shakes you up. And that's the zone of optimal development. That's what we all do, that dyslexic or not, we all look for that spot of growth. Some people don't, some, you know, and some people go way too far and get fully discouraged. And I think that is its own, that's its own topic as well.
We've got lots of these topics in the future, because
Think
you know, when you start talking about energy and development and that, there's a whole topic in that. There's a whole topic on conscious dyslexia and unconscious, in my opinion, where there's the dyslexics that only understand what's on the box, reading, writing, spelling.
Okay.
And they don't really get the bit beyond them.
Yeah.
Now that's like, I think dyslexics are quite conscious, many of them, but there are still a lot. Like, my dad would have been unconscious till he was 50, 55.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was only later in his life he kind of clicked, and you saw him change the way he saw the world.
Interesting.
But yeah. It's like, it's, I think that's a topic in itself, but I think, yeah.
I got to tell you, I relate to that though in a huge way, because I really can say that it probably clicked for me more than ever this past year. I really, even though I was known to be dyslexic, I never really understood like how much more. I always saw the things like, oh, dyslexics are special because, you know, like all these different famous smart people are dyslexic, you know, cool. You know, I always see it on Instagram and it's like, great, what's that do for me? You know, I'm still not rich, you know, so.
I love it. That's so true, right? It's like, We've had people come to us and go, it's great that Richard Branson's dyslexic, but why do I care?
Exactly. It's great. Listen, the funny thing about philosophy, I heard a great quote, and I love reading philosophy. I love reading philosophy. But the like craziest thing about it is it only works in hindsight, you know? You know, and so, and that's like, we have a great understanding of it, but it's like philosophy, most philosophy is established in hindsight. And the same thing with dyslexia. It's like, great. Like, I don't know why it matters to me that I know that Steve Jobs is dyslexic, besides the fact that it helps me get out of bed this morning a little bit, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, and it's kind of one of those weird things. It has its place, which is good, because, but I actually think it helps non-dyslexics come to term with our value. It's actually less helpful to us because we, you know, you can't relate to it, right? Like, it's really like, I don't, if I'm honest, I don't relate to Gandhi. You know, I just don't relate to it.
yeah, right? No, totally.
He sounds amazing, but like, I'm not like living
great
my
dude.
Life by principle, you know? Yes. Whereas like, if I meet someone in my life who's similar to me, who's had a certain level of success, who, you know, you're much more relatable and you can go, okay, I like the way they're thinking. I can see they're a stage ahead of me here.
Yep.
You know, and it's the same thing with coaching, right? You only have to be one chapter ahead in the book than the person
that's all.
You're working.
And that's the zone. Again, there's the zone of optimal development.
There you go. Exactly.
There it is. Exactly. And that's why, you know, that's why I feel maybe like with us having these conversations, it's so wildly relatable, like, and so, and really helps me, if anything, like, you know, this is, besides the fact that this is just so much fun and great to help others, like, I got to tell you, this is cheaper than dyslexic therapy. You know what I mean? So
this is good for me as well, because I used to do a lot of one-on-one coaching, and it was just too time consuming, and not in a bad way. Like, we've got our course that we sell. That's awesome. But one-to-one coaching was just like, here are too many people to help.
Totally. I know. I'm running into the same problem.
Yeah. Like, it's endless. And like, it's, we try and do the podcast because it's one to many. We do the videos one to many. We'll try and do this more and more regularly because we have, you know, again, it is good value just to talk through it. And it's great to help you as well, mate. Once you're even more rich and famous, once you've made it fully, then we'll talk.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And dude, I love that. That's, you know, that's, it's been super helpful. So thank you. Cause I just being able to tell you some of these things that I go through and you'd be like, oh, well, that's because of this. Have you ever thought of that? And then throws me in that other direction. Oh man. Yeah. Wonderful.
And this is the thing is most people don't have a lot of people to talk to about it and just chat. Yeah. Like, and that's where for everyone listening, these podcasts that will be coming out, we're just having fun and enjoying the journey. If you've got questions to me or Jimmy, just reach out, pop them in the comments in YouTube, or there are different ways to contact me through Anchor or through our website.
Yep.
We're always happy to talk about a topic that you bring to us and just shoot the breeze.
I would absolutely love to. Yeah. Oh, my students' parents. I had one time I had a student parent come in and goes, so you're dyslexic, right? And cause I was always very proud of it. You know what I mean? I was always, it was always something that even though like I didn't fully understand, let's say until a year ago, honestly, probably until I started listening to your podcast, until this podcast, you know, and I had this teacher was like, yeah, you know, do the computer keyboards mess you up? And I looked at her, I was like, no, why would the computer keyboard mess me up? I don't know. And then she opens up her son's Chromebook from school and the keyboard lowercase.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my God. And that was the first moment I had in years where I was like, oh my God, everyone looks the same. And that was like I said, I don't really have the letter issue too much, but when I do, sometimes it's extreme.
Yes.
And
it catches you out, right?
What was that?
It catches you out.
It does. Surprise. Yeah, it totally does. It catches you by surprise. And that's what that means, right? It catches you by surprise. Okay, cool. Just making sure I'm translating well. But as soon as she opened it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Yes, this gives me a problem. You know, I capital letters. We like capital letters.
Yeah. And I think also it's funny you say typing because the one, you know, people say, what was the best thing you learned at school or high school? It was, that was me translating high school.
Thank you.
You know, was touch typing. You know, I learned touch typing and it changed my life. I never had to think about it again.
Yeah.
And I could type at the same speed my brain went.
Wow.
And that changed my life. Because if I was typing slowly, I can't type slowly. My brain's too fast for my words.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I say, to anyone who's listening, if you can learn to touch type on a keyboard, it is the best skill a dyslexic can get. It takes a bit of time. Get Mavis Beacon or one of the games. There's actually a video on our channel about a touch typing app to teach people. But it is so useful. Game changing.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Well,
let's go on to a last couple of topics for this. There's a special topic that you're going to talk about today, mate. And
excellent.
We're just working with a new bit of a new
tool. Oh, cool! I like this.
Jimmy Japan, mate. Tell us your amazing Japan fact.
Okay, so check this out. I recently found out. Now, anyone can fact check me on this. Please reach out and tell me that I'm either, you know, I'm just reading terrible articles or whatnot. Please feel free. I found out that it's remarkable. It's very easy. It's the easiest language for a dyslexic to read, right? Mm-hmm. Is Japanese. Now, granted, the other side to that is that there are literally 2,000 kanji or something like that for you to like try and learn, you know. But when it was funny because when I first showed up in Japan, I was by myself. I just wanted to go on a trip. I always loved Japanese culture. I always loved Japanese, you know, wrestling. I'm a huge wrestling nerd. I always loved, the artwork. I have Japanese tattoos. You know what I mean? I'm just always a big fan. So I go for a vacation. A friend of mine tells me he's also going pretty much the day after me. So we're going to meet up. Right. And we ended up spending the whole trip together. And so I show up there and I have just the Japanese that I studied. And I kind of knew to kind of show up and just do my thing, you know? And I couldn't really read anything at first. And then by the time the trip was over, we had met up with a group of friends that, you know, of my friend that were all there for a college trip. And at that point, I was able to, you know, navigate subways. You know, I was able to like look at things on menus and kind of sound it out and figure it out. And it wasn't, it didn't feel tedious. And I was wondering why I loved being there so much, you know? And I feel like that has like a hidden meaning to it. Interesting, yeah. Right?
You think there must be like I think everyone agrees English language is stupid.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's actually, I think English is actually the hardest for a dyslexic.
Oh, I think it's real. Like I sit there with our 5-year-old and she's talking about stuff and she's getting confused on words. And I'm like, do you know what? It is confusing. It's not your fault. Don't let anyone tell you it's your fault. It is stupid language. You know, why would you create 3 of the same words with ever so slightly different spellings?
Yeah, right.
You idiots. Like what?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just mindless, right? It's how is that smart? You know, yeah. People are too lazy to change it because it's too hard.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're both, you and I are in a similar boat to the fact that both of our countries both still don't speak English properly, technically speaking.
Not the same, right? And like everyone's got slightly different versions of words just so they can have their peace of mind. And it's.
Yeah. And oh my God. And let me tell you, I'm sure there's parts of New Zealand that you go to that you will not. And I mean, this happens anywhere, I guess, technically, but there's parts of New Zealand that you could go to where you might not understand a different dialect.
Oh, mate, we're too small for that. You don't know how small we are, right?
I really don't.
We're so little. There's only 5 million of us. So we're probably smaller than, like, if you imagine California has 40 million people.
Yeah.
We have 5.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the population of like Manhattan. And that's more than you guys.
we're all very, we've all got a very similar accent. That's probably a lucky thing.
But yeah, that is.
In England and, you know, definitely in the United Kingdom, very much like that. Different dialects.
Yeah.
Same with a lot of countries. New Zealand's just really small.
Yeah, wow.
We just hide from pandemics and world-ending craziness and stupid wars. We just hide away in a different part of the world. It's a really
Do you guys have all like the scorpions and everything over there too?
No, we've got no snakes or scorpions or anything like that.
No? So you guys are like all the perks of Australia without all the stuff that wants to kill you.
Yeah. And we're not, and you know, we've probably got pretty good weather in the grand scheme of it. I think climate change also won't drown us for a while. We're in a pretty good spot for that. You know, there's a lot of rich Americans buying, then this is another topic, buying golden tickets to New Zealand because it's such a good country.
I'm about to yell upstairs and say, babe, we're moving to New Zealand. So we can do these, you know, in real time.
We always need good musicians, mate. We always
have right?
a good music scene as well.
Beautiful.
As big as yours. It's good. But yeah, it's a great
the point that I was making, though, is that there are parts of America that you go to that you will not be able to understand someone's different dialect right away. It's very interesting. So that communication breakdown is just its own thing. And then, you know, the written language, though, the written language is the hard part, right? Let me ask you, this one isn't something that I realized until I read about it and noticed it. A's, lowercase A's and S's. Bro, that one blew my mind when I first realized that if I at a quick glance on a tired day, I could easily mistake those two letters.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And it's you're quite right. This is probably a great place to end for this version is, you know, tired days. And I think we Jimmy, we got there in the end. You know, we literally have done the whole circle.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
But you know, you're right. Tired days, dyslexia and tired don't go together.
Yeah.
You know, your brain literally, because your brain, you know, this is my take on it. Your brain is processing words. It takes so much more energy for our brains.
Yeah.
And so if your brain is tired, if it's dehydrated, which is the other killer, we're shockers at drinking water. Wow. Or whatever we say, we're pretty bad at it, right?
Yeah.
We've all got routines and systems, but you know, some days it works, a lot of the time it doesn't.
Exactly. We all have our mess ups.
Yeah, and so like if our brains are not on full speed, it's literally like it's trying to draw 6 amps of power from a 2 amp kind of amp would be, I don't know if this is the actual word.
No, yeah, for sure. And it, I want anyone listening who doesn't quite understand to maybe think about this. And to think about, okay, imagine being tired, your standard level of tired. You work all day, whatever it is. Now imagine you work all day and you're driving home and you have to take an alternate route and you are having a hard time reading street signs.
Yeah.
That's not something that people have to deal with on a regular basis. And I didn't know until I started driving that I would have to deal with such things. Even this, the first time that I was out on my own driving, I remember. Now, do you guys, okay, so you probably might not have this over there. We have these.
Yeah, we have cars and roads.
Oh, perfect. Oh, awesome. Okay, so cool. I need both of those things to exist there for this story to make sense. Cool. So but you guys don't have jug handles, right?
Oh, no, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so what that is say that you're on a multiple lane major highway going in both directions. Now, if you wanted to make a left turn, you can't cross over. Well, I guess in your guys, which side of the road do you drive on?
Oh, mate, you know, you're testing me on the left-hand side.
On the what? On the left-hand side.
Left.
Okay. Yeah, so we drive on the right-hand. Yep. So now if, say, I want to make a left turn across the traffic, you won't be allowed to do that here, right? So what you have to do is you have to go up and around a circle on the side that shoots you out the other way.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we call here. We call that a jug handle. Okay.
That sounds like a lazy solution to a problem.
Hey, welcome to the country. So anyway, so now the thing was, we have these no left and no right turn signs. And what they look like is a circle with an arrow that it's like, it'll be pointing in a direction. It'll be a right angle with an arrow on it to tell you that you can't go in that direction, right? Circle crossed out with that sign going in that direction. Normally, it's funny because I think some people, I think it's less likely that we decipher like pictures of like faces or something. We don't really decipher those backwards, right? But this picture is easily mistaken for some sort of letter or something. And the first time I had to be in that situation, I remember my sister was driving next to me, and I was like, I put my blinker on to turn left when there was a no left turn sign, and I was like, oh my God, like I don't know what direction this sign is pointing in right now. And I realized that I had to start looking ahead to see where these jug handles were.
Yeah.
That was my adapting, you know?
And you know, and this is the thing, we're always adapting, right? And I think we could probably do a whole session on driving alone. We get people asking about driving tests and how do you do practical ones without stressing, you know, because again, we're a lot of dyslexics dealing with this stuff. And it's quite easy. Once you've passed through these parts of life, it's easy just to forget it. And put it in the I don't want to remember what happened part of our lives. I'm going to squirrel that away.
Yep.
And,
totally.
Yeah. Well, man, thank you for being on the podcast. We'll do this in a few weeks again, and we'll just keep chatting. We'll keep going forward. But thank you, Jimmy, for being on the pod.
It's absolute pleasure every time. Can't wait to come back.
Awesome, man. And thank you, everyone, for listening, guys. If you do want to know any more about what we do at The Truth About Dyslexia, just check us out, truthaboutdyslexia.com. There's more stuff on the YouTube channel, the podcast, and we've got fun and exciting courses happening all the time. So until next time.
Just before you head off, I just wanted to share that we're about to launch our next Confident Dyslexic course. This is our premier program to help dyslexic adults who have just been diagnosed or just realized that dyslexia is a lot more than reading, writing, and spelling, go beyond that and understand how it affects and impacts all assets of your life and how to start to deal with it in a more healthy way, to start to use dyslexia as a gift and a benefit rather than just a crutch or a pain, which I know for so many people it is. It's a 6-week course, all run on apps. It is really easy to operate and run, and it won't take up all the time in your life. If you're interested, I know that's important to me. If you're interested in learning more, head to thetruthaboutdyslexia.com. I'll pop a link in the show notes, touch wood. If not, just give us a Google. We should come up the top. and we'd love to have you on the program. Have an epic rest of your day.